Before the service started tonight, Don brought a fella to me. I guess you caught him coming up from the parking lot here, or he's parking out in the driveway or something. As Don was coming into church tonight, Mr. Richards, there was a man who was around out there, and Don brought him in, and he was a fellow on a crutch, and introduced me to him, and he wanted to speak privately, and so this is not an uncommon thing around a church, and particularly a church like ours in the location that it is. And this was the situation. He's got a wife and some children or a child in the car. They live in Lower Alabama, L.A. They are. His story is that they had been on a trip. He'd been in a car accident, and his foot was all messed up in his leg, and he'd lost a lung and so on, and he was just pretty badly broken up. And that they had been on a trip up through Georgia and Tennessee looking for work that his wife could do because he couldn't work. And they were on their way back to L.A. For some problems that they had in the family and so on. And their situation was that they had no money for gas, and they had no food and no money to buy food, and they were 6-7 hours away from home. Now, if you've been involved in the ministry any period of time at all, you've heard that story 500 or 600 times. We have heard that story 500 or 600 times. How many of you know that there are people that just go from church to church, and that's how they make their living, sponging off of the people of God, because they know that the people of God are generally a soft touch? Okay. Now, here's the lesson. What do you do when you're confronted with that kind of a situation? What do you do? Well, some would send them to the Salvation Army. Some would send them to the local government agency to get whatever help they could have for them. It's unfortunate, but many of the churches in this area in years gone by, when that would happen, they would send them over to Water of Life. And we had that happen, didn't we, on numerous occasions. And, well, we don't have anything. Now, let's suppose that this fella is running a scam, but you don't know it. What should you do? What would please the Lord? Should we give him some money, even if he's ripping us off? Or should we send him away without any because he's trying to steal from us? What would you do? What's your decision? Okay. Suppose you can't hear. No, that's a good answer, though. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. You ask the Lord for discernment. You can do some natural things, like if you can, try to look at the license plate on the car. Tonight I asked for his driver's license. Take a look at his driver's license, see whether he's really from L.A. or whether he's from down the road here somewhere. You know. So you can do some natural things like that, and you can do some spiritual things. But suppose you can't get a clear picture. You don't really know. What would you do? Let's look at some scripture. Let's go to Matthew 12. Look at verse 7. Matthew 12, verse 7. And then we're going to go to James. Verse 7, Matthew 12, Jesus said, "But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless." You know what that means? Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament book of Hosea, where God is saying to his people, "You bring me all of your sacrifices and your worship and so on. You come into the church, you bring me your worship and so on. But what I really want you to have is mercy one for another. And when you bring your sacrifices but will not have mercy on your fellow man, that's not what I'm looking for. You don't understand." Jesus said, if you understood what the word of God means when it says, "I will have mercy and not sacrifices." So you bring your lambs to the altar and the priests kill them, and we offer the blood, the fat, and so on in sacrifice to me, but when your neighbor doesn't have anything to eat, you won't feed him. That just doesn't make any sense. All right, let's go over to James chapter 2. look at that one. Before we leave Matthew, though, let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 41, 2. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What does it mean, twain? Two, okay. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. All right, let's go to James. Whose money are you carrying in your pocket? Are you carrying God's money in your pocket, hon? Are you carrying God's money in your pocket, Charlie? You really know that that's God's money? Jeff, you carrying God's money in your pocket? Candy, how about you? You carrying God's money? Not my money, God's money? Is it okay if God uses it any way he wants? Even if we don't understand it? Yeah, okay. All right, James. How do we know that's God's money in our pocket? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in the earth is his. Now, it's appropriate for us to acknowledge that and say, Lord, whatever I have, I give you. But you know, it's his even if we don't give it to him. It belongs to him by right of creation. So what are we in relation to the money that's in our pocket? We're what? We're stewards. Who's the owner? God's the owner, and we're a steward. Okay. And stewards are to use the resources of the owner the way the owner says use them, right? All right, let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 13 and following. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Let's just take those four words right there. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What does that say to you? Okay, mercy comes first. Okay, what else? Anybody else have a thought on that? Mercy rejoices against judgment. Tommy?
Have judgment against the self brings you under condemnation.
Okay. All right. Okay. Don, did you have something else to add to that?
Don't have judgment against somebody.
The bottom line is basically this. Mercy is always preferable to judgment. If you have a choice to make between two things, and the choice is not real clear as to whether you ought to have mercy or whether you ought to have judgment, mercy is always preferable to judgment. Now, there are times in your responsibilities where you must have judgment. You know, you got to exercise judgment in your homes, for example, where your children are involved, that sort of thing. But if you're an employer and you're dealing with an employee, any kind of authority subordinate relationship, there does have to be judgment from time to time. But that judgment is not our Constitution an example of this. You see, when you understand the principles of the Bible, you'll begin to understand the basis upon which our country was founded. One of the principles of our Constitution is that we reject the idea of cruel and unusual punishment. Have you ever heard that term? Cruel and unusual punishment. Why did we choose to have that as part of the constitutional law under which we live? Because mercy always rejoices against judgment. Okay? All right, let's read on. So when you don't know what to do, mercy is always preferable to judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, God bless you, brother, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, then what doth it profit? You see the principle here? Okay, now, with those scriptures in mind, what should a Christian really do in a situation like that, then? Where you don't really know whether you're being scammed, or whether it is a legitimate and genuine need. What would a Christian who understood the Word of God, what would he do in a case like that? He would give, wouldn't he? He'd give mercy, and mercy is meeting the need, isn't it? Now, what if the guy is scamming you? Okay, but what if you give and he's scamming you? It's no skin off your nose, is it? It's God's money. Well, yeah, God will see that that's taken care of. It's not our loss, is it? We didn't lose anything because it wasn't ours to start with. It was his. And mercy always rejoices against judgment. If that man is scamming, who's he scamming? He's not scamming you. That's right. See? And God said, what did God say about vengeance? He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So Jaina said, anybody who's going to scam God is really in a bad way, isn't he? See, so we should be concerned about that? See, that's a problem he's got with God, if that's the case. So the reason I bring this up tonight is that I have, it has been my general experience in dealing with Christian folks who are having to deal with this kind of problem, that they would rather not give if there's any doubt rather than give. You understand what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to tell you is that if there's any doubt, you go the other direction, you give. If there's any question about it, mercy is always preferable to judgment. And it's no skin off our nose if that person is, you know, if he's a scam artist. Now, only a fool, once he found out that that was the case, only a fool would continue to, you know, to perpetrate that. But where you don't understand, where you don't know, and it's not clear, always mercy, always mercy, always mercy, always mercy. Jesus said, you must be perfect like my Heavenly Father is perfect. And don't we appreciate the fact that he always gives us what? Mercy. We deserve what? Judgment. But we get what? Mercy. Hallelujah. Yeah.
We have a scripture Luke 6.
Same, yes.
36.
Right. Yeah, go ahead and read it. It's very similar to what he said in Matthew there.
As ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also do likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thinketh ye have? For sinners also love those that love them sinners. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thinketh ye have? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thinketh ye have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive of such again. But love your enemies and do good to them, and lend hope nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And he said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also.
That's the key verse there. Right. Then the 38th verse is the next one, isn't it? How did God treat you when you were scamming him? He treated you with mercy, didn't he? He waited for you to come to your senses, didn't he? And that's the way we ought to treat our fellow man.
This is what we do. Tell me if this is wrong. Like, somebody stops us off, and we stop on the highway, and then wanted money to get gas. And we decided that they might not need that money for gas, so we would go with them.
That's, yes. Yes, absolutely. That's right. That's right. No, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. If you're in a situation where you can do that, then, you know, you go on and do that. But I don't want my wife taking some fella, you know, to the gas station to get gas. You understand what I mean? But the principle that you're saying, or my daughter, you have to use wisdom in that area as well. But yes, it is best where we can, and we're not in a position to do that in this situation tonight, so we just gave money. But where you are in a position to do that, it's best to take the person, take them, you know, fix them a meal, or take them to a restaurant and buy them food, or take them to the grocery store and buy the food, take them to the gas station, pay the bill, and you know that it's going for that purpose. And if you are any question about it, that's obviously the best thing to do. Yes, Lois?
I think that
yeah, you minister. You don't go on and give them a few bucks to get them out of your hair. You go on and minister to them. Yeah, yeah. And God knows, right? Key element. Here's key element. This is the thing I want to get across to you tonight. Since I've become a born again Christian and 18 years I guess now, and began to have real involvement in this kind of area with Christians from other churches, I am appalled by the stinginess of most Christians. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic that so few Christians have generosity enough to take care of somebody who's in need. And we justify our own selfishness by saying, well, he's just a scam artist. That makes us feel good about being selfish. It's an excuse for our selfishness. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then we can sleep tonight because we know we did good and we didn't let somebody scam us. We ought not to be able to sleep again until we get forgiveness for that kind of selfish, selfish attitude. Jesus said, freely you have, freely
give.
See? So I don't ever want it to happen with anybody who is part of this church or has ever been a part of this church that I don't want you foolishly giving money to drunks to buy Mogan David, okay? But you probably don't even know what Mogan David is. Just thought about that. Booze, okay? So I don't want you doing stupid things like that. But what I am saying is that if there's somebody out there who is in need and you have the means to meet that need and they request it of you, then you have the means to meet that need. You go on, meet the need. And the Lord will multiply that back to you. The scripture says that if that scripture is not true, then what are you believing for heaven for? I mean, if heaven's true, then this one's true too. In Proverbs, it says that anybody remember where this verse is? Somebody probably know. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And so when you're giving to someone who's poor, you are in actuality giving to the Lord. That's a pretty good investment, don't you think? Amen. Anybody find that scripture, just raise your hand.
It also says when you've done it to the very least of these, you've done it to me.
Yes, and when you refuse to do it to the least of these, you refuse to do it to me. And what did Jesus say is going to happen to those people? He will say, depart from, I never knew you. That's sheep and goats. So, for a few bucks, don't ever lose your relationship with God. And don't you think, see, it's not up to us to decide whether the people are genuine or not. That's not up to us. That's up to God. It's up to us to be the channel, okay? All right, let's go to Acts. Anybody find that? Let's turn over to Acts. And let me just take a quick look through Proverbs here, and let's see. Of course, Joyce, if you put that one on the bulletin board out front, we will have a steady stream of folks through here next week. Did you know? No, that's not what I'm saying. did you know, unless you want to stay here and have the purse, you know, to take care of it.
Can I read you two verses in Psalm 41 since you brought this back up again?
Yes, just a moment, if you will. Did you know that the ministry of the Good Samaritan Center, which operates here in Douglas County and has for 10, 12 years, was very much a, that's the one.
Proverbs 19:17
was very much a ministry of this church for quite a while until other churches really began to get the vision for that and get a hold of that, and the ministerial association then took it over, and it's been excellent. Proverbs 19:17, I said, he that giveth to the poor, the scripture actually is, he that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. And Michael, what's the last half of that? You're looking at it there?
I'm looking at
that. Oh, okay. And that which he has given, will he, the Lord, that is, pay him again. The Lord will pay it back. Yes, Charles?
Psalm 41, first two verses. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Yes. The Lord will deliver him in time of...
Hallelujah. Amen.
The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemy.
Amen. Amen. How many times have we heard it said that we're not to judge them, we love them, God will take care of the judging. And this is an area that I think is important for us to deal with.